days gone by, we can go back to the days gone by and we can benefit from it. We can learn from it in a wonderful way. Look at what it's saying. Things written aforetime, that's scripture, that's writings aforetime, are written for our learning. We can learn something from those people who've done the days gone by. And I told a few of them today, Noah. Can we learn anything from Noah in days gone by? Well, we can learn in Genesis 6 and verse 22, he did all that God commanded him. He built that vessel according to the correct dimensions that the Lord inquired of him. He put that one door, that one window. He and his family were people who were obeying the way of God. And as a result, they entered into a place of safety when that great and powerful flood came. You know, there are a lot of things that have been found since that day and time that established that the flood did happen. A marine life, for example, on the tallest of mountain peaks have been found in various caves and inland areas of those particular mountains. And how did they get there? Did they get there because the bird took the one up that way? Could have been an explanation. But there's so many of them, they laid out in such a way on those mountain peaks that we have to conclude that water was there. And as the water subsided, it laid those particular crustaceans there. Those particular animal remains were there. And in essence, they became an evidence for there being a tremendous amount of water once upon a time in that mountain range. And that's a place throughout very vast hemispheres or vast countries of the world. And this flood took place. Our Lord Jesus said that it took place. People love Jesus and love his teachings. Well, we've got to embrace the fact that Jesus said during the days of Noah. In Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 34, our Lord Jesus talked about obeying the word of the Lord and said, and how we need to be people who follow everything that he has said. And Father, in that further in that regard, he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. In the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and knew it not. That's a kind of expression for they really didn't care a whole lot about what others thought, what others said. They didn't care a lot about what Noah was preaching and teaching to them. He's called a preacher of righteousness in 1 Peter chapter 3. In spite of his teaching to them regarding that time, they did not enter into the ark with him. And consequently, they become examples, Jesus said, for us today. That as it was in the days of Noah, to becoming Son of Man, they were eating and drinking, and knew not till the flood came and took them all away. The flood took away, punished those individuals who were not in the ark, not prepared. And the idea is that if we do not obey the Lord today, then we find ourselves being righteously punished of God because we do not follow his way. The things written aforetime, written for our learning, we can learn from Noah. He obeyed God's command, Genesis 6 and 22. In Leviticus chapter 10, beginning verse 1, we read of the sons of Aaron who come. They have an Abihu of these men, and they bring what the Bible says is a strange fire unto the Lord. As a result of bringing that strange fire unto the Lord, which he commanded them not, the text tells us there, then that fire arose out of that pit and consumed their lives. Sadness was a part of Israel's history there. Aaron himself was sad, not embittered against God, because he recognized that they had failed to bring the type of offering that they should. That strange fire represented something that he had not commanded them. They had substituted something else. And as they had this fire, they had fire, but they didn't have the fire authorized of God, and they were punished for that. We can learn and benefit from that, and here is a great example in the New Testament for why that is the case. In Amos 4 and verse 12, we find harvest is past, he says, summer is ended, and we are not saved. We need to pay attention to these examples of the Old Testament, because they tell us and they inform us of how to be obedient to the Lord in a full way, and in the specific things that he has said. There was a specific type of thing that Noah did. There was a specific type of thing that they did about who should have done that they did not do. And Amos talks about the people of his time saying, we are not saved. The idea is that they were not going to be delivered. terrible things are going to come that we're going to be in prison as a result. In the New Testament of the Bible, we find the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning verse 20, how that they were eating and drinking condemnation for their soul, as the text goes on to write about that. Why was that the case? Why were they eating and drinking condemnation? Who wants to come to a worship service, gather with brethren, and do the kind of things that would condemn them? Why would we want to do that? And the answer for it comes as we read along that. They were specific teachings that God had given regarding how they were to recognize the bread and the fruit of vine of the Lord's Supper. And they were not doing that. As a result of not doing that, they found themselves substituting other foods. They were having a big time, all right. They were enjoying themselves in the sense of what they were doing. But he says there in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20, this is not in eating the Lord's Supper. They were eating their own, not the Lord's Supper. That doesn't mean that they didn't bring things together, but they brought things together that pleased them. They were happy with what they had. Some of them were so happy and glad they wanted to rush on and eat before the others did. And they're being told, don't do that. Tarry on one another. Wait. This is a service together that you're to partake of this. This is not an individual thing that's being done by you. And as a result, they could learn, they could benefit from the service of God. When we find ourselves obeying the Lord today in specific things that He has given to us, we find ourselves doing it exactly like the Lord has said. Along the way, there are things that the Lord has said in His holy word that is not specific. They are just in general principles. For example, even this right here. What kind of vessels are the Lord's Supper to be found in? There was a day and time where wood, where bamboo, there was a day and time when brass, copper, there was a day and time when silver or gold. Those vessels that were used to contain the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine were not named by the Lord. Specifically named by Him is how they were to partake of it, what they were to remember, how they were to behave as they partook of the Lord's Supper. They were doing that incorrectly as they partook of their own supper. And as they were doing that, they found themselves eating and drinking condemnation to their souls. Were they eating something? They sure were. Were they drinking something? They sure were. But were they doing what the Lord had specified for them to do? And the answer is no, they were not. You read that all through 1 Corinthians 11, beginning verse 17, all the way through the chapter. You'll read this in regard to how they were misusing the Lord's Supper, how they were to correct doing that. Now, in regard to this particular matter, we find ourselves asking today, are we seriously partaking the Lord's Supper? And in our class study this morning, we're talking about the kind of things that we have to happen and which we get our mind away from. We allow ourselves to think about our shoes or think about our seam of our dress or think about the crease in our trousers. We think about the carpet on the floor. We think about other things than the bread and the fruit of the vine. We think about something else. Something crosses our mind that is a part of daily life, the mundane things of life, not the serious thing of the Lord's body and blood that were hanged there, been nailed there at Calvary. And that's what the Lord said He wanted us to remember in the Lord's Supper. It was to be the Lord's remembrance that we have in our hearts. And as a result of that, we teach our little children that. We teach them as they grow and as they go along in life. And I believe this one single thing will be the thing that keeps us faithful to God when we get out here in the world, forget about the Lord's Supper, forget about the things of God, and get ourselves into a wayward way of life. Get ourselves over in the foolish ways of drinking, the foolish ways of gambling, the foolish ways of immorality. And to remember that, wait a minute here, I'm supposed to examine myself on the Lord's Day. I'm supposed to examine myself as I eat this bread, drink this fruit of the vine. once I think about who am I, why did he die on the cross of Calvary for me? What am I doing that says that I really appreciate this more than anything?
And then that brings us back. Brings us back to where we knew we should be. What we knew we should be doing all throughout life.
When we find ourselves obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, we find ourselves Christians. And as a result of that, the Lord's Supper is meaningful to us to be reminded of how we're supposed to live and why Jesus died for us. Don't forget that on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, believers are told to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. Acts 2, verse 38. And Cornelius, the Gentile, was told and commanded after he had faith in the Lord, Acts 10:43, to be baptized in water, Acts 10:48. And the fact of the matter was that he was to gladly do that, and he began a new way of life. So can you, and we hope that you'll make that decision even today. Come visit us at the Crockett Church of Christ. This is Robert Rawson.